Welcome back to Coast AM. My next guest is a professional storyteller, and she also is the, and she owns the Blue Moon Haunted History Tours and the Colorado Ghost Tours. Since 2002, she has a, she's also the producer of the annual Spirits of Colorado Paranormal and Storytelling Convention. She has held on to the lore of the Colorado legends. It's been a lot of fun reading her book, and it's a lot of fun stuff. That's actually one of her books is Lore, Colorado Legends of Lore and Forgotten Tales of Colorado. We will speak with Stephanie Waters when we come back. I'm Lisa Garr. You're listening to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. So my guest today, her website, it's called ManitouLegends.com. And I love the beginning of it. It says, welcome to the Blue Moon Haunted History Tours. We've been proudly scaring the public since 2002. Stephanie Waters is my guest. Welcome, Stephanie.
Thank you, Lisa. I'm glad to be here. And I love that preceding commercial about peeing, because my goal tonight is to have everyone pee their pants. I'm going to scare the pee out of everyone.
Oh, that's lovely.
That's on the record.
I was thinking about that commercial saying, can you really say pee on a commercial? Is that necessary? Anyway, welcome to the show.
Well, it was funny. Yeah, thank you very much. And thank you very much for letting me be on tonight. And I've been a longtime listener, so this is a dream come true.
Awesome. Well, you send me your book, and we do our, you know, constantly in Colorado doing our Gaia shows. And I thought it would be so fascinating because there are so many different pieces of history, little pockets of history. And it's very unassuming. You can find things like that in Colorado and everywhere. But what was your first experience paranormal?
Well, I've been seeing ghosts since I was knee high to a grasshopper, is what I always say. And my parents never believed me, so it was quite frightening. And so this really has become part of my mission in life, is to try to spread some better understanding. And after I got cancer about 10 years ago, it was my wake-up call, and I looked at my bucket list, and believe it or not, my goal was to try and unite the paranormal community and to also do some outreach to help children better understand. And so I actually started this paranormal convention, and I partnered with my friend Dori Spence, and she's a professional psychic. And she runs a nonprofit called Kindred Spirits out of Longmont, Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
And so the two of us, with the brainstorming and then getting a lot of support from other people in the community, now we've changed the name to Spirits of the Rockies Paranormal Convention. And we call it a movable feast, because every year we try to sponsor it in a different community. And by doing that, we outreach to the historians, because we call ourselves haunted historians, because what we do is actual real history. So even if you don't believe in ghosts or things that go bump in the night, mm-hmm. supposedly this stuff really happened. And I got particularly interested in this after I found out about a journalist named Charles Fort, and I'm sure all your listeners know about him. But he was pretty popular about 100 years ago, and what he did was he went into old newspaper archives and old mysteries, and he revisited them to see if it was possible that these things really happened. And so that's what I decided to do. And interesting enough, this is actually my fifth book, and I want to shout out to Schiffer Publishing, LTD. They actually published my last book, Ghost Legends and Lore of the Rockies, and it is available through Schiffer Publishing.
Okay. Well, let's just back up for a second here. So let's talk about your journey through going through thyroid cancer and how you reconnected your life with ghosts. What were you doing before then?
Well, before that, I've always been into the paranormal, because I've been seeing it, you know, since I was a little child.
What do you mean seeing it?
I see it, and I actually feel it.
Explain. Give me some examples of that.
Well, I can, I know this is going to sound really funny, but I can actually sense things. I'm an empath. I think a lot of your listeners probably are familiar with that kind of a term, but I'm just highly sensitive. Now, if somebody came up to me and said, "Hey, is the Broncos going to win the football team?" I can't project that into the future. But what I can do is I see pictures. For example, today I was at the flea market with a friend and they lost their backpack, and I saw the picture in my head of where it was at. I just closed my eyes and I saw where it was at, and we went back and there it was. So I'm able to do things like that. I was a professional storyteller from the time I was about 20. All through college, I used to do singing telegrams, all of this kind of thing. And so I've worked in the entertainment business for quite a while. And about 20 years ago is when I bought a bed and breakfast in Manitou Springs, Colorado, and it was haunted. And so I said, well, I might as well start doing haunted history tours. And I opened my big, huge mansion to the public, and I had haunted wine and cheese parties.
Did you know before you bought it was haunted?
Yeah, I knew it was haunted, but I was kind of like this. You know, my kids were starting in junior high at the time, and I was like, oh, this will be fun, kids. Get this. You're going to love this story. This is way true. I mean, it sounds like it's made up, but I'm telling you that all that I'm telling you tonight is 100% true. We were living in Southern California at the time, and my husband was working for a cancer research company, and he got laid off when the company changed hands. So my entire family moved to Colorado and bought an old haunted mansion sight unseen. I swear.
Because they wanted to buy a haunted mansion?
Well,
or they wanted to buy a mansion?
What happened is, I actually had come out, I'm actually from Colorado, and I'd come out on vacation, and I was staying in the bed and breakfast, and I got to know the owners pretty well, and I told them my story about how my husband was in this cancer research company, and he was the CFO and everything, and at the same time, the owner's wife, who actually wasn't living there, she was in California because she had cancer, and she was dying. So she was really interested in the research, and I tried to give her as much information as I could, you know, her husband, and mind you, and she died. And so during this time, it was really interesting because I actually got an email, and it was back in 1999, you know, so I think it was like I filled out a questionnaire in the room, and that's how he got my email address. And he said to me, you know, I know your husband was involved in this and everything, but we actually have this bed and breakfast up for sale. And if I know you said your husband just got laid off of work. I don't know if you were thinking about coming back to Colorado, but we could talk about financing the home for you. And that was interesting because my husband didn't have a job. I mean, everything just fell into place. Like, we were meant to have this house. And by the way, I actually knew of the house because I grew up here and it was always really fond of this big, beautiful old craftsman style mansion done in the arts and crafts style. I just loved it. And when we bought it, it was really run down.
Mm-hmm.
Extremely run down. And so one of the first order of business was to actually fix up the house. Now, this was a problem because the owner said to us that they would finance us, no problem. We didn't even have to put any money down. But I was not allowed to sell anything in the house until the house was paid for. And we signed a balloon-like loan to them and said that we would pay off the house in 5 years. After 5 years, we could do whatever we wanted with the furniture of the house, what have you. Well, after, no hard feelings to the former owners or anything, but I really did not like the way this house was decorated. And I'm an artist, you know, and it's very important to me that I'm in a soothing. You can see where this is going, right?
Uh-oh. Yes.
So I actually called the owner's son, and he was managing the bed and breakfast at the time. And I said, hey, do you think they would mind if I, you know, just sold a few things? And he goes, you know what, Steph, do what you want. He goes, my mother is old, and she is going to die soon. You know, this is before she died. And he goes, don't worry about it. You know, just do what you want. They're never coming back to Colorado again because, you know, it's too high of an altitude. So I don't worry about it. Just do what you want. And I said, all right, thank you very much. So I put an ad in the paper, and I had the biggest estate sale. I don't think anybody's ever seen anything like this.
Wow.
I hired 20 people, to help me out, and we all had T-shirts that said "On a Ledge, Estate Sale, 1999." It was epic.
My goodness, you do things full out.
Absolutely everything in the house, lock, stock, and barrel. You can see where this is going, right?
I can't wait.
Well, the ghost of Shirley, actually Sue, was not happy with me. Not long after that, my nephew was living with me, and he was only 6 years old at the time, and he actually had his own bedroom at the On a Ledge estate. And he started talking about a ghost named Sue.
Oh.
And I thought it was just so precious that he had this imaginary friend. I had an imaginary friend when I was a child, too, and I didn't think much about it. Well, Sue started telling him what to do. Like, oh, in the beginning, it was really sweet. Like, oh, Sue made me eat those cookies that you told me not to eat. And I'd be like, oh, that silly Sue. You know, innocent. But then... Oh, I have to catch my breath because it really bothers me to even recall this story. It is so haunting and chilling that my nephew begged me not to tell this story. So when I wrote about it in my first book, Haunted Manitou Springs, I changed the name.
Okay.
Of the people.
And how old was your nephew at the time?
He was six at this time.
Six. Okay.
And one night, in the middle of the night, he came into our bedroom crying, and he was covered in scratch marks.
Ooh.
And he was bleeding, okay? He was bleeding, and it looked like he had been bitten all over his body. And I pulled off his shirt, and he was bruised, and he was crying, and he was so scared. And I said, what has happened to you? And he had scissors in his hands, and I ran down to his room, and he had cut the ear off of our cat.
Ooh.
And he said that Stu made him do it.
Oh, dear.
He said, Stu.
Stu.
I'm sorry, he kept calling it Stu, this ghost, Stu. It wasn't Sue, I'm sorry, it was Stu. Well, it was after about 2 or 3 months, my nephew had a speech impediment, and really what he was saying was Sue. He was saying Sue, and that was the former owner's name, the one that died.
Now,
the one that did not like me anymore.
Right?
And before, it was awful. He said to me, Stu doesn't want you here anymore.
And then what did you do? Did you?
Well, oh, my gosh. I was so frightened. Even to recall it, and like I said, my nephew doesn't even like me to tell this story. It was very.
Did you stay there?
Oh, we had to. We had no choice.
Right?
We had no choice. Oh,
what did you do then?
Oh, we had no choice. And then, if to make matters even worse, is like I told you, I was having these haunted wine and cheese parties, and like I said in the beginning, I just thought it was fun. It was like, oh, that silly Stu, he stole something again, you know. And I might find, oh, my eyeglasses in the freezer, or they might be missing completely for a week, and then I might find them outside in the driveway.
Mm.
It was just kind of capricious in the beginning and fairly innocent. But what I really think happened was not only did we have the ghost of the former owner there, but because, see, remember, it was haunted before we bought it, supposedly.
Several owners or
right,
several people involved. Or
minions.
Ghosts.
I'm just going to say that. What we ended up finding out was that it's not a portal. It's extremely, extremely haunted still.
And you are still living there?
No. After 5 years, we did get out. We got out. And the day that we left, the day that we decided we had to leave, every single doorbell in the house was going off. It was a four-story home, and we had doorbells on every level. And we took the doorbells out. We took the batteries out of the doorbells on the first level, and then the second level went off. We took those batteries out. The third level went off. It felt like they were driving us crazy. Like,
or driving you out. What happened?
We were celebrating.
What came of the place? What happened to it?
Well, actually, after we sold it, then the Maddox family bought it, and this was in 2005. And they just sold it about 2 years ago. But while they owned it in 2014, On a Ledge was voted number 6 on the nation's top 10 most haunted places, just behind the Lizzie Borden House, by USA Today and the Huffington Post.
Who would buy something like that?
It actually, you know what? Talk about true beauty. What happened with this house is that it was actually bought by someone who turned it into a Buddhist retreat. And it's wonderful because last I heard is that they cleared all the spirits away and that the house is happy again. So I am really glad.
That would take a lot of work. But
they have done so much work. They came in with feng shui experts, and they changed the gardening. They changed the direction of certain,
That really works.
Apparently it worked because it's spook free.
That's fascinating.
After about 100 years, yeah, it was tremendously haunted. And then later, after, me being a historian and everything, I wanted to know why the house was so haunted. And I won't get into that right now.
Right.
But I did find out that there was a reason. There always is. Anytime something tragic or horrible happens, it leaves a psychic imprint or a bruise, if you will, that can be felt by some people. And I'm one of those people, unfortunately.
Well, at least you know that about yourself. Some people may feel it and not know how to interpret those feelings or interpret the things that are happening in their lives.
This is so interesting that you should bring this up, because I'm actually my children's stepmother. Their mother died of cancer when they were 1 and 3 years old. And so they're both very smart people. Both of them have their doctorate's degree. My son, interesting enough, is a doctor at Stanford right now, and he was the only one in our family who never saw a ghost when we were living in Onalech or experienced something paranormal. And I really believe it was because he just didn't want to.
No, he had an analytical mind and wanted to become a doctor at Stanford.
Exactly. He totally turned it out. So all of these years, I think he always thought that I was a little bit crazy until...
I know. I want to know what he tells his friends. Oh, yeah. My stepmom's a ghost hunter. And...
It's kind of sweet being validated finally.
Oh, has he validated you?
Oh yeah, he believes me now. He knows I'm a good storyteller anyway.
Well, that's what it's all about. Everything's about storytelling.
Yeah.
So now you still live in Manitou Springs, right? Tell us a little of the history of that area.
Well, this is the most haunted. I call it the haunted heart of the Rockies. And I'm not alone. I'm sure you've heard of Nikola Tesla, right?
Yes.
Oh, well, this was his home base. He used to hang out here all the time.
Huh.
Because we have a lot of lightning here, where we live in the Rockies.
Mm.
And so he actually built a lab on the top of Pikes Peak.
Hmm.
And he was fascinated with Manitou Springs, especially because we have some very curious magnetic anomalies in our town. I can actually walk with my compass around the perimeters of Manitou Springs on these beautiful hiking trails that we have, and my compass will shake in my hand and never find true north. I kid you not. The Native Americans knew about these sacred places. And in these sacred places, the trees actually grow kind of sideways. It's just curious. The hair on my back of my arms and my neck will go up.
Mm-hmm.
You can feel it. And the other thing that's curious about it is that because of these magnetic anomalies, Nikola Tesla actually noticed, I believe he was standing outside of the Cliff House Hotel, and he was watching as these birds were just circling over Manitou Springs like they didn't have any sense of direction, like their innate sense of ability to find their way through north or south was gone. And birds have a little piece of hematite crystal in their brain. And he was speculating that maybe because of these magnetic anomalies that the birds were becoming confused, because they were actually behaving in a very strange manner by like diving into buildings and like kamikaze pilots.
Interesting. It really is a very special place. That is fascinating. We will find out more about Manitou Springs, Colorado, when we come back with my guest, Stephanie Waters. I am Lisa Garr. You're listening to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. I just want to give you a quick reminder that I also have a great show on the Gaia Network along with George Norrie, who's got Beyond Belief. My show is called Inspirations on Gaia. You can check it out at inspirationsongaia.com. It's G-A-I-A. And you can check out my eighth season there, brand new shows that are being launched right now. I had an incredible interview with Dr. Eben Alexander last. That's the one that's up there right now. And really, really incredible interview. Just one of those life changers. So check all that out, inspirationsongaia.com. And you can see my show there and George's show as well. All right. Well, we'll be right back. I am Lisa Garr. You're listening to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. My guest is Stephanie Waters, and she is not only a professional storyteller, as we can tell, but she's also the owner of the Blue Moon Haunted Histories Tours in Colorado. So, Stephanie, tell us a little bit more about you. We were just talking about Manitou Springs and how it has this incredible magnetic anomaly there. Where else in Colorado, and why specifically Colorado? Did it just call to you?
Yeah, I think another reason why the people were drawn to Manitou Springs for spiritual reasons is because originally this was a sanctuary to five warring Native American tribes, and when they came here, they had a pact between them that they would not fight when they were here. This was their holy sanctuary, so they would wipe off their war paint and put down their weapons. Mm. And there was peace here forever until the Victorians came along, and the legend is that we started building, you know, the hotels and what have you right over their natural mineral springs that was sacred to them, and that the natives actually cursed the town after that, and that's why it's so haunted. Makes sense to me.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does. Now, you live there?
I do.
And you like it?
I do, but you know what? You have to be careful if you live here, and I am not kidding you. I'll tell you what happened, okay? A year ago, it was September 11th, I was taking a beautiful morning walk up the Ute Trail, and I ran into a dead body hanging from the bridge. Now, this person,
real dead body.
It was awful. It was suicide. Mm. Come to find out, it was a homeless person, and it was awful. But, you know, it rocked my world, and I started talking to people here in this town about what is wrong with people here. There is a high incident of drug abuse and alcoholism, and I believe it's because the people here have not learned how to
process it.
They don't know how to channel the energy of Manitou. That is the legend. That's why there are so many artists, dancers, singers, musicians that live in this town, because they can feel the energy. But if you don't properly channel this energy for the powers of good, if you actually get into a negative mind spot, or you don't create, because if you're an artist and you live here, you have to create. And if you don't, it will turn against you. It will become a negative force. And I know that because it happened to me when I first moved here. And I see it happening to other people.
Well,
and I warned them. My godson moved in with me a year ago, and I said, I was trying to help him out. He was going through a hard time. And I have this beautiful attic apartment, two bedrooms and a kitchen and a bathroom, and I said he could live there for free. Just needed to get a job. He was only here for a week, and he, you know, the spirit of Manitou overtook him, and he goes, I can feel it, I can feel it. I've never felt so good in my life, you know? And I said, well, you got to be careful. Well, he burned out in about a month, and it was really sad.
How do you suggest people process that energy wherever they live, if it's a haunted house or if it's a relative? How do you channel that energy?
Well, I definitely don't want to be around any negative energy anymore. Like I said, I try to keep, you know, a healthy attitude about it, if I can call it that. Because you have to think about this. Why is a ghost here? Why are they lingering? That can't be good.
Because there's unresolved business, right?
Well, yeah, but I mean, that's a lot of anger too, if you think about it. And
why do you say that?
Because you would have to have a lot of anger to be tethered here. If you are full of light and full of love and full of Christ consciousness, whatever you want to call it, I don't think you'd be tethered here after life. I think that you would want to move on and toward the light.
Yeah, you've got a good point there. So these beings want to stay tethered here to haunt or disrupt people because they have a grudge?
Well, some of them, I believe, are conscious, and some of them, I don't think that they know that they are here still. But they're all troubled. You know, I love these stories when people go, oh, my bed and breakfast is haunted, but only by a friendly spirit. I'm like, give me a break. Huh. There is no such thing as a friendly ghost, Casper or otherwise.
Well, because why would they stay? That's a good point.
Yes, it's troubling. It's troubling. And when you mess around with this, okay, it can lead you down a dark road. Okay, I've seen it happen to my friends. I mean, I don't watch TV, and I haven't for 20 years, and it's funny that I'm in this business because now all these ghost hunting shows are on television.
Right.
And I guess in the last year or two, you hear all these stories about these people that are on these ghost hunting shows, and they kill each other, and they you heard about this stuff? I think they get involved into a dark force, you know? It's nothing to play around with.
Well, are all ghosts troubled, and are all ghosts
dark? I believe so. I think that everyone has a different opinion. Now, I want to tell you something. This last book that I just wrote was actually written because of a ghost. I was called on the telephone to write a story to help this poor person who has been demonized for the last 100 years. I helped her cross over by writing this last book. And I have that. That's a matter of fact.
Is that the Forgotten Tales of Colorado?
This is Ghost Legends and Lore of the Rockies by Schiffer, okay. And it just came out. And the very first story is true, I swear to God.
Tell us about it.
Pardon?
Tell us about it.
Okay. It actually begins in 1985. I was a college student, and I decided to go to this little mining town to interview the owners of this old theater. And I'm not going to mention the theater because I want people to buy my book. Anyway, I go to this theater, and I have an amazing paranormal experience where I actually saw the former owner of the theater, and she was crying, and she was upset because her name had been painted. Well, I didn't know what to do. When I got back to school, I'm not going to write this story. They're going to think I'm nuts. So I did not tell this story to anyone. You know, I've been seeing ghosts since I was a little kid, so I sometimes just put it out of my mind and don't tell anyone. Okay, so now flash forward to 2016. I have written 4 books on ghosts, legends, and lore of the Rocky Mountains, and was quite happy to rest on my literary laurels. And I, out of the blue, got a telephone call from the Colorado Alarm Company about an intrusion signal on Harrison Avenue, and those historians out there might know where that is, but only a historian would know where that was. And that being said, this was a message left on my home number. Now, I was getting ready to take a walk. I had heard the phone ring, and I was like, I'm not going to get it, but something told me to get it. So 5 minutes later, I went and checked the phone, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, this is an intrusion signal at this place, you know, up in the mountains. And I'm like, why would they call me? I'm 3 hours away. And furthermore, I mean, only I would know where this place is because I'm a historian. I mean, this was really weird, not even the same area code or anything. So I called the Colorado Alarm Company right back, and I said, why in the devil are you calling me as your contact number? I don't even have the same area code as this place. And it was a man that answered the phone, and it was a woman's voice on my answering machine. And the man said, I don't know what you're talking about, lady. And I gave him my phone number, and he goes, we didn't call your house. And I said, I've got it on my answering machine. He goes, I don't know what you're talking about. You're going to have to take this up with the theater. So I called the police department, and I said, you know your alarm's going off at this theater. And they go, yeah, we're on our way.
Oh, really?
Next morning, I called the mayor of this town. I almost said the name. I called the mayor. I called the theater. I called everybody I could. Nobody could give me an answer.
So, now, did you still have that voice on your...
Yes, I let everybody listen to it. The first person I called was one of my dear friends, Dori Spence, my business partner. She is a psychic. She's been on Good Morning America. She's pretty well known. And I called her up, and I said, Dori, what the devil is going on with this? And she listened to the taped, you know, on my tape recorder, my answering machine, I let her listen to it. And she went into a trance and she did a reading, and we found out that I have the same birthday as the former owner of this old theater, and a lot more in common that was just mind-blowing. And my friend said to me, you were destined to write a story about this crying ghost, because she is very sad that she has been demonized all of these years and no one has heard her side of the story. And she wants you to correct it for her. And I said, you're kidding me. And I said, she goes, no, I'm not kidding you. So I called the manager of this theater, and I told her all of this. I go, I know you're going to think I'm crazy.
Really?
Listen to this message. And she calls me back, and she goes, I want you to come up here by yourself, all alone.
What?
The theater's closed in the winter, okay? And I said, well, it's November. And she goes, I don't care. Come on up. So I get up there, and she lets me inside, and she said, if I tell you this, you know, my neck is at stake. That's why I'm not telling you the theater's name, Mom. And I said, yes, I do understand that. And she goes, I cannot say that this theater is haunted because I will lose my job, and I love my job.
Oh.
But yes, Stephanie, this theater is really haunted, and I need your help. I want to help this ghost crossover. So if you are going to write another book again, could you please help us? And that is a true story. And I said, yes, I would be delighted to. So I wrote a story about this haunted opera house no longer being haunted because the ghost was set free by the truth. And guess what? I went up there on our birthday, me and the ghost's birthday, which is October 7th. I went up there to the theater, and the ghost is gone. It worked.
So the manager confirmed that it was... No longer.
Yes, all of this worked out beautifully.
Fascinating. Now, had she seen the apparition of this?
Not since the book has come out. It was amazing.
During the time before the book?
Yes. Oh, yes. She knew it was haunted, but she hit, like I said, her job was at stake. Oh, by the way, it was interesting. I forgot this is an important part of the story. Why out of the blue, you know, on August 8th, 2016? Because the theater had just been sold to the city. At one point, it was actually slated for the Wrecking Ball.
Oh.
And so this ghost was reaching out desperately, trying to find someone to help her tell her story.
I'm sure this isn't the first time that's happened to you.
The first time I got a call from a ghost that desperately needed their story.
Well, that, yes. But you seem to be the... You're like the publicist for these ghosts.
Well, thank you. I take that as a compliment.
It is. It's meant to be one. You have a way of really connecting history with these. You do the research. It's like a real live ghost hunter.
You know, when you go to places and they say it's haunted, don't you always want to know why? And I laugh when they always say, it's haunted by the ghost that likes the little girl that bounces a ball. Isn't she cute? I'm like, no, I don't believe in cute ghosts and friendly ghosts. Give me a break.
There's no devious, fun-spirited ghost?
No, absolutely not. If they are, they're just tricking you.
Speaking of tricks.
They are prisoners here. They are imprisoned here by their own minds. They're in danger.
Do they tend to come out more during Halloween, during this time of year?
Yes, indeed. I absolutely believe this time of year that the veil is thinnest, and this is the best time. If you do want to communicate with your loved ones, this is the best time of year to do it. I'm absolutely a big believer in that.
Why? Do you notice that there's a peak time?
Oh, yes. And the best time of day, believe it or not, you know, everyone thinks that it's midnight and you know, we do have the ghosts that come out at midnight, you know, but or at 3:30 in the morning. But I find the best time to actually look for ghosts, if you want to see them with your eye, is at dusk, in between, when the sun is just setting. It's in between day and night. That is the best time.
Is it a transition time, or why?
Yes, it's because of the lighting. Mm. If you think about this, there are so many colors that we can't see. And when the lighting is just right, see, I'm also an artist and an oil painter, it lends itself to the shadows. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Yes.
It makes perfect.
That's when you see the shadow people.
And the light changes very fast during
that. And it only, I call it the God light. It only lasts about 10 minutes. And in the Rockies, we have it. It's beautiful because of the way that it bounces off the rocks and the sides of the mountains. Like, I live in a canyon. And it really lends itself to being able to see the shadows at just the right directions.
Now, is the place that you're living in now haunted, or did you move to a non-haunted?
Absolutely.
Did the guests, the ghosts follow you, right?
Yes, they do. On my tours, it's very funny. See, I've been doing them now for 17 years. I started when I was in kindergarten. Just kidding. But that being said, I've been doing it for so long that I just naturally thought that this is going to crack you up, but I thought that the streetlights in Manitou were on a timer, because whenever I would walk underneath the streetlights, they would go out when I would be talking about certain ghosts, you know, at these certain locations. And then one day my friend says, well, why would they go out when you're standing underneath them if they were on some kind of a tripper to save on electricity or whatever? They would go on when you walk underneath them. And I said, yeah, that's true. So they really do communicate with us on the tour. I will talk to them and the streetlights will flash. This town is very haunted by...
Well, it's true for a lot of areas. I mean, even Boulder, when I walk around there, and I'm there once a month doing my show, and if you just look at the tops of the buildings, it's got a lot of history.
Yeah, yeah. Does it happen to you too? I mean, I've heard that sometimes it just happens to some people with the tripping of the lights.
It used to happen. It doesn't any longer.
And did you notice that it would happen to other people too, or just you? I know you said it doesn't anymore.
But... Yeah, I noticed it was just happening to me. And
yeah,
it happened so much, but then it stopped.
I know, and then you don't want to tell anybody because they'll think you're psychotic. They're like, oh, you're special.
But if you try to say it's happening, it won't. So.
Yeah, they're like, oh, aren't you special? You know how to do all kinds of magic tricks. I'm like, no, really, I'm serious. I was just wondering if it happens to you too. And they're like, no, I don't have that.
Are there other Western towns, like old Western towns that you, other than Boulder and Manitou Springs, that you know are also carry that type of energy? Or those
Absolutely. Estes Park, right there. Oh, yeah, the Stanley Hotel right there on that. It's very sacred Native American land, and Boulder right there. It seems to be, I have heard pilots tell me that if you go up on an airplane and you look down on Manitou Springs and Boulder and even Estes Park with infrared cameras at nighttime, that you can see it light up with a red energy. I find that very interesting. And, you know, the natives used to call this the spine of the earth was the Rocky Mountains. This is very sacred land. It's very, very old, ancient.
Why did they call it the spine of the earth? Center of the country?
Yeah, the center of the world.
Of the world.
You know, Pikes Peak, they believed, was the navel of the universe. I find that fascinating because maybe it's a portal. You know.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you.
Mm-hmm.
So why is, we need to get into this. This is very
fascinating.
Very,
I love this stuff.
I know. Pikes Peak, it's very popular.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a lot of stories around it. And I know that you've written a lot about this and you can tell us about it.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to take a break in just a minute. And maybe you can tell us a little bit about it after the break. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the name of your book again is called the latest one. You have four?
I have five.
Five.
My goodness. All came about after cancer. Was on my bucket list. I'm a big believer in manifestation.
And you're fine now.
I am so fine, and it's wonderful, and I'm so grateful to God. Thank you for asking.
All right, we're going to come back and find out about Pikes Peak from you. All right, my guest is Stephanie Waters, and we will be right back. I'm Lisa Garr, and you're listening to Coast to Coast.